Alex, you have something?
Well, I don't know. I was just thinking that both of the next two thoughts are opposite to the world. That is the hope that is in you, because the world has no hope, and in meekness and fear.
Okay, let's go with the last one first.
Okay.
Because I think that's extremely important, so let's build on that. Go ahead.
Because the world has, it's every man for himself. Nobody cares for the things of others, where we, not only we care for the things of others, but especially for the things of the Lord, and we're in subjection to the Lord, thus the fear.
Okay. Anybody want to build on that? Go ahead.
I think we've all had contact with other believers who, in the way that they even speak to other believers or to unbelievers, it's not done in a spirit that's characterized here of gentleness and respect. It's, I have the truth, you don't. Here's a, I'm going to use it as a bat and club you over the head with it.
Exactly.
And that's the nature of the conversation and the tone with which it's delivered. What the apostle is encouraging us here is to know the word, to be able to provide the answer, but to do it in a way, as it says here, that's respectful, that's gentle, that's done in a way to that shows love, so that at the end of whatever the conversation is, the person can't walk away with the misperception that, you know, Christians are holier than thou, Christians are disrespectful, Christians are dogmatic, but rather can walk away with the conversation being, this person helped me see through something that I may not have seen, but they respected me fundamentally, then they cared about me as a person.
Excellent.
I'm thinking of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. So I think that tells us, you know, the way we really present the truth to people is very important. Not having an attitude that, you know, I know it all, and so on.
Excellent. I think this is extremely important for us because of the very reasons that have been already underlined. So I'm not going to repeat that. But also is when we speak to others in humility, who are we emulating?
Christ.
And I was thinking of the verses in Luke chapter 4 that says they marveled at his gracious words. His gracious words. In Colossians chapter 4 verse 6 would remind us that we're supposed to speak to one another in grace. And it's not by winning an argument. It's not by, you know, I've got Darby in my hand. That's a proud spirit. I was talking to a brother one time and he says, well, I've been in the meeting for 60 years. So? What does that have to do with anything? And that's pride. That's nothing more than pride. And so he says, if we want to make an impact on the world that we live in, lay aside that. He says, with meekness, and let's talk about fear. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to fear? What kind of fear? What's it talking about? Let's get some help.
There's 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has torment, and he that fears has not been made perfect in love. And I would like to add a point. And we'll go back to Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. It says, after these things, the word of Jehovah came to Abraham, in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield, thy exceeding great reward. So basically, he was telling him not to fear at first, in the first verse. And
in verse 5,
he says, and he led him out and said, look now towards the heavens,
and number the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said to him, and he believed him. Didn't even look at the stars.
So this is the beauty about faith. This is the beauty about fearing the Lord and just being able to recognize
his glory
and his truth.
and to have perfect confidence in the Lord without even having a reward.
It's interesting because in verse 15 we have the fear at the end, but in the previous verse we're told not to be afraid, and but the verse following we're told to have fear, and it's the fear of the Lord. It's the respect of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but it's the, when you look at it in this context, giving someone the word, spreading to someone, giving my outline of faith, there's a privilege, because when I'm talking about Christ, I'm talking about Christ. So there's that reverence that needs to be while I'm explaining the hope that's in me. The hope that's in me comes from the living God. And so when I'm describing my faith, when I'm describing my hope with meekness, there has to be that reverence for the person, for the one I'm talking about.
Very good. What? I think Joe touched on it, the difference between the fear not and fearing the Lord. And I just want to underline that as we move on. It's a reverential fear. The reality that He is present. If we could grab a hold of this, it would change my life. If you would grab a hold of it, it would change your life. That we live in the presence. I'm struck by the fact that when you read 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, that Mark encouraged us. I went back to my room and that night, and I read through 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy because I took Mark very serious, and I'm still a young man, so I read that for me. But Mark encouraged us to read 1 and 2 Timothy. You read it, and you circle or underline or highlight or whatever it is that you do, how many times it uses the term in those two epistles, before God or in His presence. It's amazing. And we need to think, to move, to act in the presence of God. It would deliver us from the present of this world, from the presence of this world. So I want to just encourage us that what does it mean? And I want to tie it in also with the Lordship of Christ, knowing that one day we are going to give an account. So now as we move about here, we want to reverentially serve Him. Go ahead.
I just wanted to add to that, in verse 14, I think it literally says, do not fear their fear. It's the idea of not giving in, we've already said not to be conformed to the world, not to be afraid of what the world is afraid of, not to think the same way. And just to follow up on that, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
I just want to add one more thing, and then we need to move on because time is slipping away. Going back to Abraham, the point that was made, where Abraham was told, fear not, connecting this in. It's interesting that in Genesis 22, when Abraham put Isaac upon the altar, and then he was ready to offer him to the Lord, and then the Lord told him not to, lay not your hand to this young lad. And then the Lord said to Abraham, for now I know that you fear me. That's the point. Abraham lived in the presence of God. And as a result, he wasn't a friend of the world. He was a friend called a friend of God. So let's go back to our verse. First Peter chapter 3. And we've seen the principle of lordship. We've seen the principle of learning God's word. We've seen the principle of lowliness. And let's see what else we see here, because there's one more very important point before we run out of time.